Good morning. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm excited to be up here today. I love this series that we're in about experiencing connection, and I'm especially excited to be up here on a day like Mother's Day. And you know what, guys? We're taking a bit of a hit today. I'm not gonna lie. The girls get special treats today. Hopefully they got breakfast in bed this morning. I hope. Did anybody get breakfast in bed this morning?
No.
Come on, guys. We can do better than this. I get a free pass. My mom's in Winnipeg, so I slept in this morning. But I did want to say, I don't know if this was even intentional. This definitely was not planned, but there is something for the guys today. I wanted to get you guys a little bit excited for it. Dale Clare in our church has a very, very cool vehicle. And he drove it to church today. And I if I'm not mistaken, there's a real bullet hole through the vehicle. It's a very cool vehicle. And I think he intentionally parked right over by the tent with the women's treats just to keep the guys distracted for a little bit. So guys, make sure you go check out Dale's vehicle after the service. I promise you it's worth going and checking out. Now, I just want to make sure that we really understand the importance of a series like this and the importance of understanding how we connect with different things in our lives. I think for majority of my life, experiencing connection was something that did not need to be thought about or did not need to be a focus in my life because it happens so naturally. When you're in school, connection happens naturally. It's almost forced upon you. When you play on sports teams, connection happens naturally. When I went to college, connection happened naturally. You're put on, you're in a programs with people and you're in dorm rooms with people. And I lived with the exact same four roommates for four straight years. Connection was easy and connection was happening all the time. You're in relationship with people, you're living with friends. And I think it actually wasn't about maybe 3 years ago when I moved to the Comox Valley for the first time that I kind of went a couple months and I started to experience the feeling of not feeling connected to stuff and not feeling connection because I had lived my whole life so close with friends. Traveling to hotels on sports teams, living in a dorm room, and all of a sudden I had moved somewhere that was new to me where I didn't know anybody, and I did not move here with friends. And it was in that season of life that I understood how important it is to experience connection, and not only just to experience connection through people, but experience connection through hobbies and experiences that we have in our lives. And I love that this morning and last weekend as we had talked about our campouts that are coming up, the word connection was brought into both of those announcements. Because I do think it's important to prioritize time to just feel connected to something, to connect with people, to connect with nature, and just as much as it's important to connect with something, I think you all agree with this, I also think it's very important to disconnect with certain things, to get away from our normal life, to get away from some of the busyness. And hopefully, I think some of these campgrounds have lack of cell phone service. I think it's important to disconnect from that in order to connect with other things. We've been very blessed in this series so far. 2 weeks ago, we had Carlene, an awesome lady in our church, an awesome counselor in the Valley, talk about how we experience connection through relationships. So how we connect with each other, how we connect with family, how we connect with loved ones. And last weekend, we were blessed by Stacey Taves in a variety of ways as he came and shared on how we experience connection through creation. Not only were we blessed on Sunday morning as he shared, but also in the afternoon, he had a lunch with some business people in our church, and I know that he was an amazing blessing to our community garden as well. We are blessed by Stacey Taves in many ways. And as I was listening to Carlene, and as I was listening to Stacey, I started getting increasingly excited and hopeful for this week's message as I realize that those two messages tie into the one we're talking about today so incredibly well. If you were with us on Easter Sunday, you would have seen a slide that showed all of the different messages that are happening in this series, and you would have read that today's message is about our connection with the afterlife. Now, it's a bit of a heavy topic, and I'm excited to go into it today, but I'm sure some of you are thinking, the afterlife on Mother's Day. We're talking about heaven and hell on Mother's Day. It's a bit of a weird topic, but I will say that our church is on a bit of a roll, because does anybody remember what the sermon was last year on Mother's Day? It was titled, The Great Whore of Babylon. So we're on a bit of a streak here, and I don't quite know what we're going to do next year, but we're going to have to keep up the theme of a bit interesting topics on Mother's Day. But I do think it's important for us to understand how we live in relationship with our understanding of heaven and hell, and how we live in relationship with understanding what happens after we pass. And I think when we're able to learn a little bit more and ask these questions and start to dive into this and start to view the world through an eternal lens, it can actually affect and change the way we live right now. Now, all of us have had varied experiences when it comes to our relationship with post-death, our relationship with heaven and hell. For many of us at a very young age, we were faced with the internal dialogue or the questions or the curiosity that we have due to a family member passing away or experiencing loss. For some of you, you may be like me, where I was actually able to go up until about age 23 without experiencing loss once. And I never actually had to have this dialogue or sit in a funeral at a young age and wonder, where are they right now? Those questions and those thoughts were never put on me until recently. And I think I want us to make sure that we know today that it is so important to ask questions. Because I guarantee that none of us in this room right now could answer every question or know everything about the afterlife or about heaven or about hell or about the end times that we read about in Revelations. And I think it's so important to ask questions, and I wanted to put this up on the screen for you guys to understand the importance and the truth that I believe that asking questions builds faith. Because there's all sorts of questions when we come to this right away. Questions like, where am I going? What will it be like? Is it a physical place? Will I know my friends and family? Can I play sports there? Can I drink coffee there? These are all these questions that we will seriously have. Now, I do want to say that I think as we go through this today, I do believe heaven and hell is one of those things where the more you learn and the more you dive into it, the more questions you have. Now, for those of you who have noticed, Pastor Lauren is not here today. He's away speaking at another church. So I thought this would be a great idea. Maybe later I'll throw his email up on the screen. And if anybody has questions today, you can send them to Lauren and he can deal with those on Monday when he gets into the office. It's good to ask questions. It's not wrong to try and learn. I think for many of us growing up, and I would put myself in this boat, there can almost be some sort of shame or guilt around asking too many questions. Because you don't want people to mistake your curiosity or desire to learn for doubt. I think that's something that we can think of at times. We think people are going to think we don't have faith if we ask too many questions. People are going to think I'm doubting if I ask too many questions. But it is so important to ask questions. Every time I have decided to take the deep dive and try to get my questions answered, I have never been disappointed. It has always resulted in my faith growing, my relationship with Jesus becoming closer and becoming stronger. Jesus is not afraid of our questions or our curiosity. He wants to get close to us and answer them and help us. There have been a few moments within the last year and a half that have encouraged me to start asking more questions and to start taking the deep dive into understanding what I can about heaven and hell. Now, I had mentioned earlier that I had never really experienced loss in my life. I was very lucky. I had my grandparents growing up, and it wasn't until about a year and a half ago that there was a couple month stretch where I lost both of my grandpas. And it was the first time in my life that I was at a funeral, and the person who had passed was somebody I knew and was close to, and it was a weird feeling for me because I had never even really thought about it much. It had never been a question I'd asked about where are they now, what happens after this, what's it like? And I think it became increasingly important for me to try to figure some of this stuff out, because the truth is, one of these grandfathers that passed away, I get the confidence and joy of saying that one day I'll see him again and I'll be with him in heaven. And the other grandpa, I think, is a bit of a question mark, to be honest with you. We'd often ask him what his relationship with Jesus was like, and he was kind of a funny guy. He would tell us to bugger off, was his words. And he would tell us that that's between him and Jesus, which, you know, fair enough. And it just was one of those moments in my life where I thought, you know what, I should probably start looking into this more. And then there was another thing that came up. I can get consumed by food TV shows or food YouTube videos. Is anybody else in the same boat with me? Particularly at night when I should not be eating and I get hungry and I'm in the kitchen. But I love food videos. And there's a bit of a niche YouTube show right now that I'm kind of into. And it's pretty similar to another show that you guys might know. But has anybody heard of a TV show called Hot Ones? Or like a YouTube show called Hot Ones? Way less people than I was hoping for. This is the popular one, so I can relate to the more niche one. But apparently it's very niche all around. It's this interview show where they interview celebrities over hot chicken wings. It's entertaining. There we go. I think we're getting there. But there's another show that's kind of similar to it. It's called Last Meals. Anybody? Can I see a hand? I see a couple people. That makes me happy. There's an interview show on YouTube right now called Last Meals. And I kind of got hooked on this show, one, because they bring on these celebrities and they interview them and they go through. It's like a 4 or 5 course meal. It's a pretty intense meal. But the celebrities get to pick their 4 or 5 course meal that they would have as their last meal. And it's entertaining, one, because it's I love food, and the people on the show who do the cooking are incredible. And the celebrities kind of tell the story of their lives through these meals, and it's entertaining. And I always love, because the celebrities are having the best time ever. They're eating their favorite foods. They're relaxed in this interview, having a good time. And then the interviewer always just hits them, and it's always in a pretty random spot. But he says, what do you think happens after you die? To these famous celebrities who are probably PR trained to run away from that question. And I just love this show, and I find it very fascinating to hear all of the different responses and different thoughts and different emotions that come into play when that question is asked. And I was increasingly surprised by how many people in their 50s and 60s and in these age categories would just simply say, I've never even thought about it. So many of these celebrities just say that they have never thought about it. And that shocked me because I think it is so important to think about what happens after we die. Because I think when we have a good understanding of that, it affects and changes the way we live our life in a positive way. There was one more moment recently where somebody asked me the question, what are you going to do for work in heaven? Now, I don't know about you, but to be honest, having a job in heaven was not information I was aware of. And my initial flood of disappointment overcame. And I started thinking about what I could do for work in heaven. I don't think they need pastors. And I couldn't quite come to a conclusion, and it sent me in to a couple days of overthinking. I have no conclusion, but it's just there's been these moments in my life recently, and I finally decided to take the deep dive. And as I spent time talking to Pastor Mike and other people in my life and looking for certain resources to help me understand, it's become an increasingly passionate thing in my life to talk about heaven and hell and to talk about how it affects the way we live our lives today. And I just want to share it with you. I want you guys to be able to feel the excitement about what our life will be like post-death. I want you to feel the excitement that I have. Now, I hate to admit this, but I think the truth is for a long time, and I think I want to say this because it might be relatable to some people, but I think for a long time I even avoided this topic. And I think I avoided asking questions and trying to learn because I think for a big chunk of my life, there was almost a bit of a fear towards heaven, which might sound ridiculous. But I think it's because I have been blessed in this life and I recognize that and I enjoy my life. And I think there was lots of unknowns. And whenever I read Paul's writings in the New Testament, I would just increasingly be surprised by how often he talks about death and how excited he seems for it. And I had not related to him very much. Growing up, whenever we sang the worship song, Death, Where Is Your Sting? Most of you know that song. I sing worship loud. And whenever that line came up, close my mouth. I didn't want to challenge death because I was scared of death. And when I read Paul and I read about how little he fears it and how much he actually looks forward to it, I couldn't help but almost be a little bit jealous and be like, I want to understand this feeling. I want to know what this is like, so I wanted to read more of Paul's writings. And he has some super helpful passages of scripture for us that we're going to go through right now. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. So if you have your Bible with us today, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 3 says this, For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body. We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. Another passage of scripture I want to read for us today is in 1 Philippians 20 to 26. I'm making you guys jump around lots right now, I know. 1 Philippians 20 to 26. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sake, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. One more for us today. In Romans 7, verses 21 to 25. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. I think these three specific scriptures give us a lot of information right away. It gives us an idea of what heaven is like. It gives us an idea of Jesus' love and his grace towards us. We're promised a couple things through these scriptures. We are promised these new resurrected bodies. Paul said we are not just spirits, but we will have heavenly bodies. So we know that this is a physical place where we are living with bodies. We are promised a home made by God himself, not man. We learn that to live is to live for Christ and that dying is even better. Paul says that being in heaven will be far better for us. And we recognize the realities that we here on earth are stuck in sin. This world is evil and broken, and who can save us? Paul asks, only Jesus Christ. As I continue to read Paul's writings, his excitement starts to seep into my life. And when I read what he says, some of my nerves or fears that I have experienced in my past start to disappear. Now, Paul has been incredibly helpful, but there are also a lot of other authors and people who are incredibly smart and have been helpful as I continue to ask these questions. I want to highlight a specific book today that we actually have available in our resource center. But it's this book right here. It's called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. I'm sure some of you have seen this book before or read it before. It's a very popular book. And I think one of the reasons this book has been so helpful for me is because Randy Alcorn, he's a very smart guy, and pretty much everything he answers in here is from Scripture. It's all cited through Bible verses, which is very helpful for me, and I think it's very easy to digest. And I just want to read some of the chapter titles in the second part of the book because this is where it became so helpful for me. I mentioned earlier that it's good to ask questions, and asking questions can actually build our faith, and it's important to just try to learn more and understand. And the second part of this book, each chapter is just titled after a question that we may have about heaven or hell. Let me read some of the questions for us. Will there be space and time? Will heaven have sun, moon, oceans, and weather? Will we be ourselves? What will our bodies be like? Will we eat and drink? Will we be capable of sinning? Will we know and learn things? What will our daily lives be like? Will there be marriage, families, and friendships? How will we relate to each other? Will animals be there? Will it include our pets living again? Will heaven be boring? Will there be arts, entertainment, and sports? Will our dreams be fulfilled and missed opportunities regained? Will we design crafts, technology, and new modes of travel? These are all real questions that get answered by Scripture. And I think it is funny to think about playing basketball in heaven. I know that. But when we ask these questions, there's actual real answers to this stuff and real biblical evidence that gives us hope for what heaven can be like. And I encourage all of you, if you have more questions after the service, pick up this book from our resource center and email Pastor Lauren. I should leave Pastor Lauren alone while he's away today. But pick up this book. It is very, very helpful. This book enhanced my excitement alongside Paul's writings. He does a great job of helping me understand heaven and what it can be like. He even helped me understand heaven as a two-stage process, which might be new to some of us. We know that there is a place right now that is often referred to by smart people as present heaven. So we know that those who have faith in Jesus, those who have passed, those who are going to pass, do go somewhere. And we have scriptural evidence in Luke 23, verse 43, where Jesus is on the cross, and he's speaking to the criminal beside him, and he gives this criminal good news. He says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." We know that there is a place we go. That is an amazing place. Jesus calls it paradise. We also know from our second tree, the tree of freedom, that there was a choice made by Adam and Eve that separated humanity from God. This caused the world we live in to be broken and sinful. This is not God's original creation that was in the garden. Often we hear questions such as, why does God not take away all pain and all evil? And I think the good news for us, when we look at the total of Scripture and we look at our five trees, we see at the end that he is actually going to. He is going to take away all pain and all sin. Jesus' plan to return and renew all things. Our fifth tree, the tree of renewal. God's creation will be redeemed and there will be a new heaven. So this is the two-stage process. We know that there is a place that we go to today. There is a place that our loved ones who know Jesus are. But we also know that when Jesus returns, he is going to renew all things and create new heaven here on earth where we will live as our eternal home. Last week, Stacy talked about the beauty of creation and how we connect with it. And I think for those of us living here in the Comox Valley, this is increasingly easy. We live in a beautiful place with mountains and rivers and oceans, and we love nature and being in it. Yet we do not even understand how beautiful this renewed earth will be. How this new heaven will be. We cannot imagine how beautiful it will be. There's a famous quote that has helped me imagine how amazing heaven must be. Because I think for us at times, we think of this life as pretty amazing. Yet many people have been quoted saying this: "For those who accept Jesus as their Savior, this life is the closest they can get to hell. But those who deny Jesus, this life may be the closest they get to heaven." When I hear this quote, it often hits me in a bit of a heavy way, thinking about how this life could be the closest some people experience to heaven. But it also gives me some sort of hope, thinking that this life, which is hard and difficult, but also amazing at times, is the worst it's going to get for me. And it gives me hope thinking about how amazing life in heaven must be. How much better it must be than this life I am in now. Heaven is going to be so much greater than we can ever imagine. Scripture tells us that we will be free from sin, pain, death, depression, anxiety, disabilities, comparison. We will be free from all that. We will be with Jesus in his glory in our eternal home. We get to enjoy the things we love most there. We get to enjoy God's creation in its purest form. We get to enjoy delicious food and animals and relationship with each other and mountains and rivers and all of the things we love about earth, we will get to enjoy in a better way for eternity. And I think this is actually some of the best news that I learn about when reading Randy Alcorn's writings. Because I think I love this life, and I love parts of it. And it's important for us to recognize that a lot of the things we enjoy in this life are God's creation. And the beautiful plan of Jesus to come back to this earth is not to completely scrap everything and get rid of everything and start over. But it's to take his creation, to take the things we love, to redeem it and renew it and just remove the darkness, remove the sin, remove the pain. It's the things we love and enjoy about this life in a pure, renewed form while subtracting the darkness and evil. This is good news for us. This seems like a place that we can start to get excited about like Paul is. Now, I do recognize that there is a harsh reality that we must face when discussing what it will be like after death. Because as exciting as it is for us to think about heaven, I can't help but think of the people in my life that I know right now who do not know Jesus, have heard the name of Jesus and denied him, or have just never come to know his love. Now, when we talk about heaven, we have to recognize that hell is a real place that people can go. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of confidence in knowing how we get to heaven. And I think that is very important. The Bible gives us confidence in knowing how we get to heaven. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus tells the man, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." We know that it is not our works or our doing or our actions that get us a spot in heaven. Jesus has already done all of the work. It's just up for us to accept him as our Savior, to be in relationship with him, to have faith in him, to love him. And our spot in heaven is secure. Now, I want to make sure I comment on this because, yes, we get to be confident in knowing how we get into heaven. But I want us to be very careful in being too confident in knowing who goes to hell. Because I think a lot of the times we get up and we think we have the authority to decide in our minds or to tell people where we think people are going. Yes, Scripture gives us confidence in who can go to heaven. And yes, Scripture can give us some understanding that those who have heard yet chose to deny and allow their heart to become so hard that they have fully rejected God may not make it to heaven. Yet, it is so important for us to recognize that we are not the final judge. And I don't know about you, but I have not died. And I do not know what happens in the final seconds of somebody's life. I do know that Jesus continually does whatever he can to reach people where they are at. And I like to think that in the final seconds of someone's life, Jesus is getting as close as he can. And he is reaching out to them, and he is allowing them to experience his love and his grace and his mercy. And I don't know what happens after that. But I like to think and know that Jesus is reaching out with all that he has. I think we can all think of people we know and love that do not know Jesus yet. And I want to make it very clear as well that our job is not to scare them or make them run away from a place called hell. Our job is actually to give them hope and make them run towards somebody named Jesus. We don't want people running away from fear. We want people running towards in hope. When we can view the world through this eternal lens and we can start looking at the world knowing all that we know about heaven and hell and the grace of Jesus, it becomes even more clear that we have an important role to play in this life. I love that in Philippians, Paul says, he was talking about how excited he is to die, yet he says, "If I live, I can do more fruitful work." And he says to the people, "But for your sake, it is better that I continue to live." And I just want to say that there are people out there that for their sake, it is better that you continue to live. There are people that need you. We live in this broken world with sin. We live in this broken world that could be the best they ever get. But we are going to continue to recognize the importance of our mission, the importance of a call on Jesus to love people. Our church has a prayer priority for this year. And it's this idea of 500 missionaries in the Comox Valley. And this is not about 500 people moving here to do this work. This is the people of our church. This is you. This is a call on your life to recognize that you have a responsibility as a missionary right here where your feet are planted, right here where you live, because there are people that need you. There are people that don't know Jesus yet that need your heart and your love. We're recognizing that there are people in the valley who are hurting, who are lonely, who are suffering from depression and anxiety. And we have this hope that it's going to get better one day, that those things are going to be removed, that we are going to get to enjoy freedom from sin and evil and darkness for eternity. And people need to know that good news. And I get excited thinking about this prayer priority because I get excited thinking about everyone in our church picking just starting with one name and one face. Somebody they know that doesn't know Jesus. Somebody that you work with. Somebody that you talk to. Somebody that also has a kid on the same sports team. Someone you know that doesn't know Jesus. If we start with just one, that's 500 new people hearing about Jesus this week. This amazing hope and perspective that we have when we're looking at life through our eternal lens has to be shared. People need to know that there is a plan and a place for us that is much better than this. A place so much better where we get to experience some of the things we love in this renewed version in a way that is so beautiful and so amazing that we cannot put it to words or imagine it. Earlier, I mentioned how the last two messages fit so perfectly with what we're talking about today. Relationships will be renewed in this eternal home. The brokenness you've experienced within relationships will be healed. We will see those we have lost in their resurrected bodies running and jumping. That's exciting for some of us who know people who struggled with disabilities or physical illnesses. We will experience a renewed creation, which we talked about last week. It's harder to believe here in the Comox Valley than it is where I grew up in Winnipeg, but it does get better than this. Every day when I'm out on my run and I stare at the mountains and I'm just thankful for God's creative work, yet I get hopeful and excited for about how much better it will be one day. All creation will be renewed. All animals living peacefully together, Scripture says, and it's important to recognize that we are a part of creation. We will be renewed. We will be living in renewed, resurrected bodies for eternity. And when I discuss this, I cannot help but sort of feel undeserving of this new resurrected body and this new resurrected home. I don't always feel like I've done a great job in the one I have. And over the last couple months, we have read through the Gospels and we ended it on Easter Sunday. And every time we look at Jesus' death on the cross, I am so thankful when the miraculous happens and the veil gets torn in two. And I think it's important to recognize this. Because for so long, the veil was up in the temple, separating humanity from the Holy of Holies where God dwelled. And this was incredibly symbolic and powerful for us as humans, recognizing that there is no more separation between us and God. We get to be close with God. We get to experience God. We get to experience His Spirit as a gift to us. And we get to live with Him for eternity. We probably don't deserve heaven, that's true. But that is the love of Jesus. It's continuously not about what we deserve, but about what Jesus has done for us. The worship team can come on up at this time. It's important to recognize that this is not about what we're trying to earn. And our relationship with Jesus should never be about trying to earn or get ourselves a spot in heaven. It's not about climbing up to this impossible mountaintop, trying to reach perfection. We've used this language in our church before, but we're not trying to reach the top of a mountain. The truth is, we are all together down in the valley, struggling and hurting and broken. And we don't serve a God who stands up top and waits for us. We serve a God who continuously gets off the top of the mountain and meets us down at the bottom And he really came to earth in human form to struggle with us. And he made a way for us to get to the mountaintop by getting on that cross and taking our punishment for us, taking our sin upon himself so that we can have a way. Because we can talk all we want about how we get into heaven and what we should be doing and what practices we should put into place to try to make it there. But the truth is, the only reason anybody gets into heaven is because of Jesus Christ. Not because of what we do. It's because Jesus has made a way for us. He just asks that we accept him, that we choose him, that we press into a relationship with him. Accept his love and accept his gift that he has given us. I want you to look forward to heaven. I think you should. I think we should be excited about this place. Yet I want you to continue to chase after Jesus and not heaven. I want you to chase after Jesus. We are missionaries in the Comox Valley helping people know Jesus. Heaven is a beautiful result of the good fruit that will come from that. But people, a relationship with Jesus doesn't stem from fear of hell. It stems from the love of Jesus impacting their life in a special way. And I know I keep mentioning our church values and the trees and prayer priorities, but I'm going to do another one to help us understand here. As we leave today and as we continue to view the world through this eternal lens, we will increasingly see more opportunities and feel more inspired to share the good news that is Jesus. Because when we recognize and think about how short this life actually is and how amazing heaven will be for eternity, I think it inspires us in a way where we want to see the people we know there and we want to experience it with them. So more often as we think like that, we will be inspired and motivated to share the love of Jesus with people. And one of our church values is this idea of going out on a limb. This idea that the fruit is not at the stable, sturdy tree trunk, but it's out on the branches, and it takes some risk to get the fruit that we want. And I think as we continue to view the world through this eternal lens, when we're thinking about heaven and hell, and we're thinking about people in our lives that we would love to see there, I think it encourages us to take more risk. I feel a sense of responsibility to take more risk. And I want to encourage you this week that when you feel that there's a chance to maybe take a risk, and for some of us, that's just a simple invitation to church. Pause and pray. And if you feel it is right, then go for it. Take the risk. Because I think when we think about eternity and we think about heaven and hell, there's not much that's not worth that risk. It's always worth the risk to tell someone about Jesus, to tell someone about a home for eternity that they can live in. I think that's worth the risk every time. Let's worship together.